Texaco Star Theater. The more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast welcome you to an hour of mirth and melody. With our star comedian, Fred Allen. Kenny Baker and Portland Hoffa. Our guest, Monty Proser, America's number one press agent. Wynn Murray and Al Goodman's orchestra. It's Texaco time. Folks, summer is practically here, and most people are laying around the beaches enjoying themselves. I'd be out at some beach enjoying myself, too, if I didn't have to hang around and say, here he is, Fred Allen, in person.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I must be slipping, Jimmy. It took four people to start my reception tonight. We generally do it with half that number. And, Jimmy, did I understand you to say you prefer the ocean waves to the ether waves?
And I wasn't kidding, Fred. I can enjoy myself at the beach.
Enjoy yourself?
You heard me.
Well, Jimmy, how can you say that? Have you ever been buried in the sand up to your neck and a fat boy come along and plunge a beach umbrella into your Adam's apple?
Why, no, Fred.
Well, have you ever been asleep on a beach and suddenly awakened to find a mosquito with his nose under your skin? Blowing little lumps in your arms.
I know, Fred.
The mosquito doesn't like you. He'll lump you every time, you know. That's right. Well, have you ever worn white flannels within 5 feet of a dirty sheepdog shaking himself off?
Why, no.
Well, do you know, James Wallington-esque, that statisticians say, can you handle that esque? Yeah, we've got a long show. We've got to abbreviate everything. Do you know that statisticians, that's all I'll say. Do you know, Jimmy, that statisticians say that our leading beaches will be entirely gone within 30 years?
The beaches will be gone?
Yes, Jimmy, they are being eaten. Slowly but surely, the nation's popular beaches are being eaten up by the great American public.
Really?
Yes, Jimmy. Tons of sand, grain by grain, are being consumed in salads, sandwiches, and on the ends of hot dogs, eaten at the seashore. Why, I know a fat man out in Rockaway who is so full of sand, when he perspires, it's stucco.
Oh, gosh, Fred, I didn't know that. You know, I was a sap to say I could enjoy myself at the beach. I ought to kick myself.
Well, if you're too busy, I'll be glad to take care of it for you. It's only a sleeper jump around there. I could get around there in no time.
No, Fred, I can handle it. I'm pretty limber.
You are limber, mm-hmm. Really? I never would guess it from looking at you. Well, you, and now, while Jimmy, you're going to follow through, I mean, with this kicking stuff. And while Jimmy is trying to make a good impression on himself and get a little advance work in for the Birth of the Black and Blues, which Paramount is making, I believe, we turn to the latest news of the week. The Texaco News presents its highlight from the world of news. Any campus in America, as college year officially ends, commencement exercises get underway at the leading universities throughout the country. Since the outstanding students at the larger colleges have been acclaimed and publicized, tonight the Texaco News highlights some of the small intellectual fry whose insignificant collegiate activities might otherwise go unnoticed in the hurly-burly of our times. Now, our first candidate tonight is Tyler Shoat. And what was it you did again, Tyler?
I excelled in athletics at Quince University.
At Quince University, you excelled?
Yes, sir.
In which sports?
I won more letters than any student in college history.
Well, good for you.
I won my Q in football.
Q for dear old Quince.
Yes, sir. I won my Q in baseball.
Fine.
Won my Q in basketball, my Q in hockey, my Q in track, my Q in lacrosse.
Did you wear your letters graduating?
Did I? Instead of a gown, I wore my sweater.
You wore your sweater
yes,
on the
sir.
Campus,
yes,
eh?
Sir.
Well, you must have been a sight.
I had Q's sewed all over my sweater, front and back.
Well, could you get them all on?
Not all of them. The Q's I had left over, I carried in both hands.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, if your hands were full, how did you take your diploma?
I brought a friend with me. They handed it to him.
Oh. Someone you could trust and who wasn't allergic to sheepskin, I hope. Well, what are you going to do now that you have won all these cues?
I'm going to open a pool room.
Something tells me you are going to rack and ruin, and thank you, Tyler Shope. Now, the only man to be... I couldn't think of that when we were writing the script 4 days ago. And thank you, Tyler Shope. The only man to be honored by a college for an act of sabotage is T.J. Smith-Smythe. What is your college, T.J.?
I have a crew haircut, I'm wearing a raincoat, and I have on dirty sport shoes.
Oh, a Harvard man.
Yes, and I've got a nasty letter from Ann Sheridan to prove it.
Fine. Now, what is this act of sabotage for which you were cited?
Well, last November, I went to New Haven in the dead of the night.
Uh-huh.
I crept into the Yale Bowl.
Yes?
I placed 2 termites in the Yale goalposts, 1 in each post.
Oh.
20 years from now, in the fall of 1961, during the Harvard-Yale game, the Yale goalposts will topple over and no one will know why.
Diabolically clever. No one will ever know why the goalposts have toppled over but you.
Exactly. I shall sit back in my advertising agency and roar.
Yes, you can say... Oh, now, wait a minute. How do you know you'll be in an advertising agency 20 years from now?
I'm a Harvard man.
My mistake.
No, my mistake.
Well, have it my way, and thank you, T.J. Smith-Smythe. A senior... is this your suit or your underwear you have on? That outfit looks like a Bal Brigham ensemble you have pulled through the stem of a meerschaum pipe. I mean, if I'm inquisitive. But a senior who made a name for himself at which college was that again?
Strictly Subnormal.
Strictly Subnormal.
Yeah.
What is your name again?
Wasador Sheehan.
Wasador, that's an odd name, Wasador.
Well, yeah, it's the past tense of Isidore. Isidore.
I see.
My parents lived in the past tense. Yeah, I got a sister named Eusta Beatrice.
Eusta Beatrice.
I got a brother named Receipt.
Receipt Sheehan?
Yeah, Receipt is Bill in the past
Bill
tense.
Bill. Well, don't bother going through the genealogical balance of the family. You were honored, you say, in some way, Wasador.
Yeah, the graduating class at Strictly Subnormal voted me most likely to succeed.
Well, you were outstanding in your studies?
Nah.
Oh, you were a football hero?
Nah.
I know. You were the life of the class.
Nah.
Well, you must have excelled in something.
I was a dope.
Well, then why did the students at Strictly Subnormal vote you the most likely to succeed?
For 2 reasons.
1?
My father's worth $1 million.
2?
I got an uncle on the draft board.
That lets you out. Thank you, Wasador. Another student who had a low IQ was Falcon Prawn. What college did you attend, Falcon?
They asked me not to mention no names.
Oh, they... You got a sneak release, in other words. Well, that I can understand. Now, what studies did you take up, Falcon?
I took an oath to become a tree surgeon.
Oh, I see.
I once seen a tree die. That's when I took an oath.
You took an oath.
Yeah, I once seen a tree die.
We heard you the first time. You spent 4 years studying tree surgery.
Mostly in the upper branches.
Just what was your course?
Well, the first year I spent underground studying roots.
Underground, the first year. Well, the second year?
They dug me up.
It was hard hardly worth the effort, I would say. Well, then?
The last year I studied trunks. This year I'd done emergency operations, mostly oophorectomies.
Oophorectomies, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you went all through this simply because...
I took a note. I want Cena 3 die.
And this year, loyal to your vow, you graduated.
No.
No?
No, I was flunked.
Flunked for what?
Conduct unbecoming a 3 sergeant.
Well, what happened?
Well, sir, my final exam was to cure a sick 3, a hickory.
A hickory? You had to render first aid?
Yeah. The 3 was in a coma. I tried a sap transfusion.
You gave your own blood? Did it help?
No. The 3 was failing fast.
Yes?
I tried an amputation, cutting the fungus off the fronds. I done a neat job.
And still no improvement?
No. I decided on a final diagnosis.
Yes?
I shinnied to the top of the 3, suspecting acute twigitis.
Twigitis. And when you got to the top?
The professor yells up, "Well, what do you see up there in the hickory prawn?" I says, "Nuts, professor."
And?
He says, "Nuts to you, prawn, you flunk."
Well, are you giving up tree surgery?
No, I'm starting in next year again as a freshman.
You are determined to become a tree surgeon.
I got it. I took a note. I want Cena 3 to...
This is where we came in. And now, a young lady who was valedictorian in her class this year, Miss Jinx Feinschreiber. What was your, what was your school, Jinx?
Mrs. Rabinowitz is finishing, but positively school.
And you read the valedictory address?
Yes, only I'm not reading, I'm reciting.
Oh, excuse me.
And it is not an address, it is a poem.
Oh, a class poem. What was the title?
Vosville Stew, Girls of 41.
Vosville Stew? Well, how does it go?
Vosville Stew, Girls of 41, as out into the world you go, some to Jersey, some to Stamford, some to Cleveland, Ohio. Girls, will you go into business? Will you travel, take a tour? Will you time to monkey business, thinking of l'amour toujours? Vosville's two girls are 41. Facing life, don't play the fool. Let our motto be Eureka. Girls of Rabinowitz is finishing, but positively school.
And thank you, Jinx Feinschreiber. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Baker. Kenny's first song tonight is Time Was.
Time was when we had fun on the schoolyard swings, when we exchanged graduation rings. One lovely yesterday. Time was when we wrote love letters in the sand, or lingered over our coffee and dreaming the time away. Picnics and hay rides and midwinter sleigh rides and never apart. Hikes in the country, and there's more than one tree on which I've a place in your heart. Darling, every tomorrow will be complete if all our moments are half as sweet as all our time was then. We have a world of memories, you and I, the kind you cherish more and more as the years go go by. Picnics and hay rides and midwinter sleigh rides, and never apart. Hikes in the country, and there's more than one tree on which I've a place in your heart. Time was when we had fun on the schoolyard swings, when we exchanged graduation rings, one lovely yesterday. Darling, every tomorrow will be complete if all our moments are half as sweet as all our time was then.
Very nice. You know, Larry, as Kenny was singing just now, a vagrant thought, a lonely thought, flitted through my mind.
No.
You know, I suddenly realized that something big has gone out of my life, gone forever.
Really, Fred? What's that?
The World's Fair, Larry. Ah, those happy days last summer when I could go out to Flushing and while away an idle weekend standing in line at the Futurama, or sniffing Grover's gardenia. Well, now the Trilon is torn down, and my life is like the fairgrounds. No point to it.
Oh, cheer up, Brett. Part of the fair is still going on. What's more, it's on the road.
Why, don't tell me they crammed that whole thing into a trailer.
No, Fred, but do you remember Jimmy Lynch and his troop of death dodgers at the Goodrich exhibit?
Do I? Why, those daredevil drivers thrilled millions at the fair, Larry.
Well, then you'll be glad to know that Jimmy Lynch and his troop are now giving exhibitions all over the country. Ladies and gentlemen, don't miss this hair-raising, stunt-driving exhibition when it comes your way. You'll see cars sent screeching around hairpin turns at breakneck speed, taking off from a springboard into midair, deliberately crashing, rolling end over end. It's breathtaking. But make no mistake about it. When Jimmy Lynch and his men take their lives in their hands, nothing, absolutely nothing is left to chance. Says Jimmy Lynch, success of car stunts depends on perfect timing. To make sure of split-second action from our motors, we use Texaco Sky Chief gasoline exclusively. And to protect against high-speed engine heat, we use nothing but insulated Havoline motor oil. Thank you, Jimmy Lynch. And Mr. Motorist, for matchless performance in your car, try Texaco Sky Chief and insulated Havoline, both premium products of your Texaco dealer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Maestro Goodman has just played intermezzo. Maestro Goodman has 8 violin players in his orchestra. And who plays the violin solo? Goodman's son-in-law. I'm not kidding either. This is keeping the music in the family. Well, this is National Flag Week, ladies and gentlemen, and the United States Flag Association asks that we honor Flag Week through displaying the flag at our homes and at our places of business during the current week. And now, oh hello, Portland. I didn't see you. Come
hello.
In.
Hello.
Say, what's the big idea? What are you doing with all those traveling bags there?
I'm leaving for Hollywood.
Why, Hollywood? Don't you know that another girl in Hollywood is like one more flea on a St. Bernard? Why go out there?
Well, I've been on your program a long time.
You mean you want more money?
No, I'm getting a living wage, it says here.
Well, don't believe everything you see in the radio script. Well, then, if you're getting this, what are you kicking about?
I'm not getting any place. Girls get ahead in Hollywood. Look at Lana Turner and Priscilla Lane.
Well, they've got something. Those girls have glamour.
Well, how can I get glamour?
Well, you can't get it through the mail. The quickest way to get let us control ourselves. We're 47 and two-thirds seconds late right now. The quickest way to get glamour, Portland, is to hire a press agent.
Well, what does a press agent do?
Well, I've often wondered, Portland. But we'll find out in just a minute. Our guest tonight is one of the country's leading press agents. He's a master exploiter, a cafe owner, and only last week he turned Madison Square Garden into the biggest dance hall in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present Broadway's dynamo, Monty Prosser. Well, I saw you count the house as you took the bow, Monty. Guess you wish you had a piece of it, eh? Well, good evening, Monty.
Good evening, Fred.
Well, it certainly is a pleasure to meet the man behind New York's most popular nightclubs, the Beachcomber, the Copacabana, the New Piping Rock Club at Saratoga, and the Dance Carnival at Madison Square Garden. You know, I really don't know what to call you, Monty. Are you an entrepreneur, a restaurateur, a dancer-tour, or what?
I think you'll be safe in just calling me a salesman, Fred.
Well, you're rather soft-spoken for a super salesman, Monty.
Noise doesn't get results in my business. A good salesman has to have ideas.
Well, you say you are a salesman, Monty, and yet you have no samples with you. Well, now, just what is it you sell?
I sort of specialize in glamour.
Oh, glamour. Glamour is a mystery quality suddenly acquired by a mediocre actress just before Hollywood releases her first picture.
Whatever it is, I've been selling glamour for the past 15 years.
You mean that you've been glamorizing restaurants, glorifying the great American cover charge?
No, Fred. Until a short time ago, I was press agent out in Hollywood.
Oh, Hollywood, the home of the verbal fanfare, where everything is glorified from a picture star to a cheeseburger, which isn't such a far cry in some cases. Well, for whom did you work out there in Adjective Land?
I was with Walter Wanger at the United Artists Studio.
And what stars did you publicize?
Joan Bennett, Madeline Carroll, Hedy Lamarr, many others.
Well, tell me, how does a publicity man go about glamorizing a person, Monty? Now, you just can't grab any girl from behind a steam table in a cafeteria and make her a star, or can you?
No. If a girl wants to get any place in the theater or in Hollywood, she has to have talent.
Well, all right. Now, let's take a mythical case. Let us say that an obscure blues singer is working in a chili bistro on 52nd Street. The El Stencho. And her name is Maisie Mulligan. Now, you, Monty, are called in at a nominal fee to make Maisie a star. What happens?
Well, in publicizing a person, Fred, the first thing I look for is a gadget.
What is a gadget?
A gadget is a sort of a thing.
A thing? Well, what's a thing?
Thing is what we call a gimmick.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Monty. We're not getting any place. Just what is a gimmick?
Well, a gadget or a gimmick is an angle, a slant.
Oh, a slant. Well, now you've finally spoken a word I savvy. You mean that you have to find something unique about this Maisie, which you can build up.
Exactly. Every good press campaign is based on a gadget.
Well, Maisie Mulligan has a voice range of 3 octaves. She's a Vassar graduate, and she has red hair. Now, do any of these suggest a gimmick?
The red hair is perfect, Fred.
What about Maisie's 3 octaves, her background?
Well, there's no glamour attached to a voice or a college education, but with red hair, you've got something.
And what is the first thing you do with Maisie Mulligan?
I'd get rid of that name.
Get rid of the name, huh? It's too long for a marquee, you think? Well, what would you do?
I'd give her a name to match her red hair.
To match her hair, for instance?
Well, something like Cherry Dare.
Cherry Dare?
Yes. Cherry Dare, the Scarlet Songbird.
Well, you've got something there, Monty. Now, tell me, what happens to Cherry Dare, the Scarlet Songbird, now?
I try to get her a job as a Powers model.
Why?
Well, today, models are the glamour girls, Fred. They get all the publicity.
Well, all right. Now, Cherry becomes a Powers model. What is your next step in her climb to stardom?
Well, I'd make sure she's seen at the right nightclubs and keep her name in the gossip columns. A good romance with some glamour boy is helpful, too.
Monty, don't tell me that all those hot items in the columns, who's this and you know are running a temperature, or what hat baron isn't tipping it to Broadway Rose? Don't tell me these items aren't on the level.
Most of them are, but quite often it's a gadget.
Well, all right. Now, let's say you do cook up a column romance for Cherry with a well-known musical comedy star named Fumfit DeVere. An old Wee and Leventhal man. Now, how is this? How is all this helping your client get to Hollywood?
Well, we give her this publicity build-up for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, some talent scout gets interested, and she'll get a screen test.
And if the test is successful?
Cherry Dare is on her way to Hollywood.
And so Maisie Mulligan, the little blues singer, becomes Cherry Dare, the Scarlet Songbird, Hollywood's latest sensation. And then, of course, your work is over.
No, it's just beginning.
You mean even when she's a big star?
Yes, we've got to keep her before the public. That means new gadgets and new gimmicks.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, you know, magazine and press stories. She could get lost in a storm or start wearing a new kind of a sweater.
Yeah.
Or we could... or we could make up a name for her, like the WAP girl.
The WAP girl. Why, WAP is better than oomph, Monty. See Cherry Dare, the WAP girl. Say, you ought to use WAP sometimes.
Yes, I think I'll remember it.
Good. But make a note of it on my cuff because I don't send my laundry out as often. But tell me, Monty, how did you get into the nightclub business? What was the gimmick that made your beachcomber here in New York such a success?
That was a drink called the Zombie.
Oh, the Zombie. The Zombie's supposed to be so powerful you can only serve two to a customer.
That was strictly a gimmick, Beth.
Well, it certainly took the city by storm. Somebody came out with another drink, the Hurricane, that could only be served to one to a customer. And finally, the topper, a drink called the Thunderbolt. The Thunderbolt was so powerful, nobody could even drink it. The waiter... the waiter just served it, and you fell down.
That sounds like a good gimmick, Fred.
Well, tell me, what about this latest venture of yours in Madison Square Garden, Monty? Isn't it supposed to be the biggest nightclub in the world?
Yes, Fred, we can accommodate about 15,000 people. We have three name bands playing every night, about 5,000 jitterbugs jitterbugging, refreshments, sandwiches. It's really quite a sight.
In other words, it's a rainbow room for John Doe.
Yes, it's the one place in New York where everybody can have a good time.
Say, if you keep doing things in a big way, Monty, you'll soon be known as Billy Rose with the water drained off.
No, Fred, Billy's in the class all by himself.
Yes, I hear Billy Rose is thinking about putting a floor show in the Grand Canyon with Superman as the master of ceremony. Well, thank you a lot for this little peek into the fabulous land of press agentry, Monty.
It's been a pleasure, Fred, and I might add a gimmick.
A gimmick, huh? I get it. Thank you, and good night. Monty Prost. Now, Wynne Murray, Texaco's girlfriend, to sing for us Calling All Hearts.
Calling all hearts, Cupid's mad as he can be. Calling all hearts, calling all hearts, he swears he'll solve the mystery. Someone had the nerve to fall in love without asking Cupid's permission. Who can be the fool who broke the rule? Every heart is under suspicion. Calling all hearts, calling all hearts. unpermitted. Someone committed love in the first degree. Shh. It was me. Who done it? Who done it? Cupid's missing a heart today. Lost or strayed or stolen away. Who done it? Calling all hearts, calling all hearts. Cupid's mad as he can be. Calling all hearts, calling all hearts. He swears he'll solve the mystery. Someone had the nerve to fall in love without asking Cupid's permission. Who can be the fool who broke the rule? Every heart is under suspicion. Calling all hearts, calling all hearts. Unpermitted, someone committed love in the first degree.
Thank you, Wren. And now just a brief word from Larry Elliott.
As you all know, our sponsor, the Texas Company, has donated this hour of time to the United States government from July 2nd to September 24th to be used in behalf of national defense. Mr. Henry Morgenthau, Jr., Secretary of the Treasury, accepted the offer, stating, quote, "We will make good use of these radio facilities by bringing the audience a program of wholesale entertainment," end of quotation. So on July 2nd, the Texaco Star Theater yields its place on this radio network to the Treasury Department's new show with the title Millions for Defense. Up to this moment, the Treasury Department has informed us that the following stars have volunteered to entertain you during the first few weeks of the broadcast series: Bing Crosby, Grace Moore, Judy Garland, Lily Pons, Eddie Cantor, Al Jolson, Bob Ripley, George Jessel, Mickey Rooney, Bob Hope, Dorothy L'Amour, Charles Laughton, Deanna Durbin, our own Fred Allen, Jack Benny, the entire cast of Information Please, and Abbott and Costello. These stars are contributing to a great national cause. You and I and every American can share in the same investment by putting our savings into defense stamps and bonds to make America safe as we save. Texaco Star Theater resumes immediately after a short pause for your station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Was Wise Old Owl, played by Al Goodman and his orchestra. The orchestra appearing through the courtesy of Local 802, their instruments through the courtesy of Meyer's Pawn Shop on a loan out. And now, ladies and gentlemen,
Headsets arrive! Headsets arrive! Headsets arrive!
Stop that music! Wait a minute, what's going on here? Quiet! Who started this portable pandemonium?
Well, Mr. Goodman and I are helping Kenny.
Helping Kenny do what? Set a decibel record or something?
Kenny's giving an audition.
What audition? For whom is Kenny auditioning? There's no one here but us chickens.
The man is listening over the radio down in Coney Island.
Listening to what?
Kenny's audition.
Yes, if I make good tonight, I'm going to be a barker at Coney Island.
A barker at Coney Island? Why should you go to Coney Island?
The last time when we went to Coney Island, Mama had to get weighed 10 times.
Your mother had to get weighed 10 times?
Yes. The man didn't have change for a dime.
Oh, your mother. Mother had to get her money's worth one way and another.
Way is mere, as the man says.
Way is mere. All right. Your author is falling off, too, the man who writes every 8th line for you here. All right, enough about Coney Island.
Once at Coney Island, I, Goodman, am swimming for 2 days continuously.
Swimming? You stayed in the water for 2 whole days. Why?
Confidentially, my bathing suit is splitting.
Oh.
With the tide, Goodman is going in and out, in and out, in and out.
Time pass it, maestro. Kenny, what is this business about barking?
Well, the program is finished in 2 weeks, F.A. I gotta get a job for the summer.
Well, look, I'll get you a job. The president of the Good Humor Company is a friend of mine.
I can't be a good humor man, F.A.
Why not?
A bicycle ruins my disposition. I'm not in a good humor.
Oh, you mean riding a bicycle makes you a sore head?
No, it's just the opposite. And besides, I'd rather work at Coney Island.
Who wouldn't? That's where you are seeing the hula dancers.
Maestro.
Bum, 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 bum.
Maestro, maestro, please. Stop with that sinus serenade. Now, Kenny, what were you saying about Coney Island?
I went down there Sunday to look around.
Did you get any offers, Kenny?
I was swamped with propositions, 40, but I wouldn't take them. Not me.
What propositions?
One man offered me a job as an orange runner.
An orange runner?
Yes. This guy has 2 orange juice stands and only 1 orange.
Oh.
As customers order, he wants a boy to run from one stand to the other with the orange.
Oh, with the orange.
This Goodman years ago was doing for a chain of delicatessens.
You ran with an orange, Mr. Goodman?
No, they are having a specialty noodle soup.
So?
So, Goodman is riding on a motorcycle between 20 delicatessens with a noodle.
Oh, please. Go away. Use the noodle in another business here. Now, what other jobs were you offered, Kenny?
I could have been a living canopy.
Oh, what's a living canopy, Kenny?
I was supposed to hold a big umbrella over the tattooed man so his pictures wouldn't fade in the sun.
Oh, an awning for a walking mural, huh?
Yes. I could have had another job as Eskimo Joe.
Eskimo Joe? What was that?
Eskimo Joe gets frozen in a keg of ice every morning. At night, he comes out.
Well, how does Eskimo Joe get out of the ice?
At 6 o'clock, they give him a hot foot.
Some jobs.
No wonder you're auditioning as a barker, Kenny.
Yeah, Porty, I practically got this job on a catapult, almost.
What do you mean, practically almost? What's holding up the job?
I gotta get a celebrity to go in the first bucket.
Bucket? What is this catapult?
It's one of those daredevil rides, Mr. Allen.
Yes, F.A. Say, you're a celebrity. Gee, if you'll take the first ride,
oh,
I know...
No, oh, no, not I. I have no desire to be the one at the post-mortem who isn't moving.
Oh, the catapult isn't dangerous, F.A. It's a long steel spring with a big iron bucket on the end.
Yes.
20 men bend the spring down to the ground.
Yeah.
They let it go, and zip, the bucket shoots up in the air.
Oh, I see. And where am I?
You're in the bucket, brother.
I am not only in the bucket. Something tells me I am about to kick it.
Very entertaining. But personally, Goodman is preferring the hula dancer.
Bum, bum, bum.
Quiet with that nasal nocturne, maestro. Now, let me get this thing straight, Kenny. You say the bucket shoots up into the air and I am in it.
Yes, catapulting through space.
Well, where do I land?
What's the difference? They have big nets.
Big nets? Well, nets to the man who owns the catapult. And nets to his catapult. Suppose I don't reach the nets. Suppose I land short. Short, an arm or a leg or something.
Oh, don't worry, F.A. You'll get plenty of distance. This year they have a new spring in the catapult. It's very powerful.
Oh, no thanks.
Oh, but you'll take the first ride. You'll get all that publicity.
No, no. Look, Kenny, I was up in the air once. As a boy, I had a ride piggyback. The altitude upset me. That cured me.
But I've got to get a celebrity.
Well, why don't you try Mr. Goodman? He is a celebrity, especially in Brooklyn.
Goodman is going in the bucket only with the hula hula dancers.
Well, I guess. He has a one-track mind, this fellow here, and it's always off the track. Mr. Goodman isn't your man either, Kenny. He can't seem to get his mind off the ground, only as far as those grass skirts.
Maybe I can help you out, Kenny.
No, no, Portland, you're not going up in that bucket. Now, it's no use, Kenny. Nobody around here is going to take a chance on that catapult.
But the man said if I could find a celebrity, he'd not only hire me as a barker...
What else?
He said he'd name the whole resort after me.
He'll change the name of Coney Island?
He'll call it Kenny Island.
Kenny?
Once when Goodman is playing there, conducting a jukebox... They are naming Coney Island after me.
What did they call it during your engagement?
Corny Island.
That I can understand. That I know. Well, Kenny, I'm sorry your job is off. Now, how about just singing your number and forgetting the catapult?
But I can't, F.A. I'm going to get that job if I have to take the first ride in a catapult myself.
There's the telephone.
I'll answer it. Hello? Yes, it's me. You have? Oh, shucks. Okay.
Who is that?
The man at the catapult. He says not to bother. He's got a man to take the first ride in a catapult. And Mr. Prentice of Brooklyn.
Mr. Prentice is the test pilot, then, isn't he?
Yeah. And he said the new spring was a big success.
Did Mr. Prentice land in the net?
The man didn't say.
Well, it's just a minor detail after all. Come in.
Sorry to interrupt your program, Mr. Allen. I have a special announcement.
Oh, you have? Well, go right ahead.
Calling all Trans-Pacific Airliners. Calling all Trans-Pacific Airliners. Avoid passing over Honolulu. Obstruction over Honolulu at 20,000 feet. And that is all. Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Say, just a minute there. That obstruction over Honolulu, is that a tropical storm?
No, it's some man in a bucket. He's treading air.
Guys, Mr. Prentice of Brooklyn.
There you are, Kenny. If I had listened to you, I would be at this minute... precisely somewhere over Honolulu.
Yeah, F.A., and for only 10 cents.
Honolulu? Honolulu, the hula hula dances. Bum, 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 bum,
play my throat. Sing, Kenny.
On a time in a forest of size, one Delia, a nymph with mysterious eyes. One day a young hunter encountered her there. One look and his heart he gave in to her care. Dove, pity the heart that is dying of love. Delia, Delia, I pray thee to rest here with thy head on my breast. Dove, pity the heart that is dying of love. Delia, oh, Delia, I pray thee to rest here with thy head on my breast. Here in my arms, Delia.
Thank you.
I beg your pardon, sir. Are you Professor Wallington?
Professor Wallington?
Yes, I was told that Professor Wallington, the eminent astronomer, was appearing on this radio program.
What is this? Jimmy, is this man looking for you, this gentleman here?
I don't know. I'm Jimmy Wallington, sir, if there's anything
I can do for you. I want Professor Wallington, the astronomer. I understand that he's discovered a star that shines all night despite the weather.
Oh, well, I'm that Wallington, and I know what you mean now. Despite the hour, despite the weather, there's one star that shines all night. The familiar Texaco star.
Fascinating. Tell me more.
The highway may be dark and lonely, the windshield splashed with rain. The time may be 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. But soon, up ahead, a light comes into view. And under it, there'll be a man waiting to serve you. An alert, capable Texaco dealer. For Texaco dealers at certain convenient points on all national highways have gone on 24-hour duty for the entire touring season. Yes, at all hours, you'll find a Texaco dealer who'll gladly clean your windshield, add water to the radiator, set you straight on your route, offer you the convenience of a fully equipped registered restroom. So plan your trips with Texaco all-night service and Texaco quality products in mind. Remember, even after midnight, you're welcome at a Texaco dealer.
And now, surprise, the Texaco Workshop Players. Tonight they present a drama of big business called The Saga of the Great American Drugstore, or Over the Pill to the Poorhouse. Music, maestro.
One of the marvels of modern merchandising is that great American institution, the drugstore. The modern drugstore is a museum of miscellany, a rodeo of nostrums and notions that baffles description. And the most confused of these Nux Vomica shrines is the great Alan Drugamart. We find the dynamic tincture tycoon entering his store to address his employees.
Attention all. Good morning, employees.
Good morning, Mr. Allen.
Today, as we know, is the great Alan Drugomart's 10th anniversary.
Hooray!
And for 10 years, what has been our Drugomart slogan?
You name it, we've got it.
You name it, we've got it, correct. Now, let's all scurry back to work.
Good old Jarvis. Yes, sir.
Put an extra salted peanut in the 10-cent bags today. This is our anniversary, you know.
Yes, sir.
And Bill Dad.
Yes, sir.
How are things going in the taxidermy department?
Fine, Mr. Allen. I'm stuffing an owl.
Good. Put an extra handful of Excelsior in the stomach. This is our anniversary, you know.
Yes, sir. Pardon me, sir. Where's the horse harness?
Horse harness? Two aisles over.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You name it, we've got it.
Pardon me, where can I get a pair of them jitterbug pants that hang down in the back?
The half-mast trousers or the full-length jowl that you wore? Well, ready-to-wear department next to the jewelry counter.
Thanks.
You name it, we've got it.
Hey, where's the floor show?
Well, just follow that waitress, order a 3-decker sandwich, the chef whips out his ocarina, and the girls will do a number.
Oh, boy, what a drugstore.
Yes, sir. You name it, we've got it.
F.A.,
stop trembling, Forsythe. What's wrong?
A customer, sir. He's asking for something I never heard of.
And you a drug clerk, Forsythe?
I know, sir, but it's...
It's what?
It's something we haven't got.
Haven't got? Ridiculous. Our slogan is, you name it, we've got it. If the customer has named it, we've got it. Where is this potential saboteur?
It's that little man over there.
The little man with the piping on his vest and the peach stone watch fob?
Yes, sir. What'll I do?
I'll handle this, Forsythe. Will you step over here, sir?
Yes, sir. But look, all I want...
What is your name?
Piddley. Aubrey Piddley, sir.
Well, I'm F.A. Allen, president of the Allen Drugomart. You name it, we've got it. Now, Mr. Piddley, just what is it you want?
I want an aspirin.
A what?
I want an aspirin.
I told you, F.A.
Steal yourself,
Look,
Forsythe.
Look, if you haven't got
haven't
an
got,
aspirin,
haven't I'll... got, man. This is a drugstore, Piddley. We have everything. You name it, we've got it.
Yeah, but I gotta get back to work.
Where do you work?
Across the street in a factory. It's too noisy. That's what gave me the headache.
Headache?
Yeah, that's why I want an aspirin. I got a headache.
A headache brought on by the noise. Well, why didn't you say so? What you need is something to shut out the noise. Slip on a pair of these no-din earlaps, Mr. Piddley. there.
Yeah, but I...
15 cents, please.
I can't hear you.
30 cents. You get back to the factory, Mr. Piddley. Goodbye. Gad, that was a close shave, Forsythe.
What was that he was asking for?
An aspirin. Obviously, he invented the word and made it up and is having some fun. He must be demented.
Probably no such thing at all.
Well, we'd better make sure, Forsythe. After all, this is a drugstore, you know. Have Miss Prendable check our inventories and see if she can find anything that even remotely sounds like this aspirin.
Yes, sir. It's 12:01, sir.
Oh, yes, the lunch crowd will be here any second now.
There goes the factory whistle. They're coming, sir.
Stand back! Here comes the noon rush!
A nice orderly crowd today. Only 4 casualties. I'll just roll this little old lady under the counter here.
Excuse me, sir.
You're too late for lunch, sir.
I ain't here for lunch.
What is it you want?
I want an aspirin.
Piddley, are you back here?
Yeah, my headache is back with me.
Let's face it, Piddley. You came in here with a headache.
Yeah.
You said it was caused by the noise. I sold you a pair of ear laps.
I had to take them off.
Why?
They started my ears sweating.
What?
Now I not only got a headache, I'm wet behind the ears. Hey, look, can I get a mask for
Just a moment. Mr. Forsythe.
Coming, sir.
Mr. Piddley still has his headache. Probably vitamin D deficiency. Put him under one of our sun lamps.
Yes, sir. I forgot to tell you, sir. The Greyhound Bus Company just called up. They ordered another one.
Oh, they did. That's the second Greyhound bus we've sold this week. Not bad, hey, Piddley?
Yeah, but look, could I get an aspirin?
Stop saying that word! You just run along, canter along with Mr. Forsythe here. A few minutes under that sun lamp, Piddley. And your head will be as gone, your headache will be gone like the good old days.
Come, Piddley.
All I want is...
Well, Mr. Piddley is finally serviced and happy.
Pardon me, sir.
I owe you. Wish to see me, young man?
Yes, sir. I'm trying to get a job as a pharmacist.
Pharmacist, eh?
Yes, sir. I just graduated from the School of Pharmacy, sir, with high honors.
High honors, eh?
Yes, sir.
Well, we'll soon see, bub. I'll give you a quick pharmaceutical test. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
What is a PB?
Peanut butter sandwich.
Draw one.
Coffee.
Chinese boiled dinner.
Chop suey.
An actor and his radio script.
Ham and eggs.
Bad news in a nutshell.
Hamburger in a bun.
Bookends.
2 pieces of angel cake.
Chorus girl's breakfast.
Coke with cornflake float.
Do you know how to repair a Mickey Mouse watch?
Yes, sir.
You're hired.
Oh, thank you, sir.
You're going places in the pharmacy game, son. Now slip a smock on over your raincoat and go to work.
Yes, sir.
Just a minute.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what an aspirin is?
What? An aspirin?
Hmm.
No, sir. I never heard of an aspirin.
Good. Well, go to work.
Yes, sir.
And remember, small scoops in the ice cream cones.
Ah, yes, sir.
Now I'll,
Take it easy, Mr. Piddley.
Look at your face, Piddley. What happened, Forsythe?
I'm afraid he stayed under the sun lamp too long.
Your face is black, Piddley. What about your headache?
Could you all sell me an aspirin?
Gad, he's got a southern accent.
Yes, and I still got a headache.
Well,
gone.
Naturally, Piddley. I've just noticed your celluloid stock tie there is too tight. The blood is cut off from your head. A headache is often caused by poor circulation. There's only one thing to do.
Can't you all get me an aspirin?
No. The pain, obviously, is in your head.
Yeah.
We'll put a mustard plaster on your stomach. That will draw the pain down into your stomach. We'll put 2 hot water bags on your legs. That will draw the pain down into your feet. Are you following me, Forsythe?
Yes, sir. The headache is now at Mr. Piddley's feet.
Good. We'll take off his shoes and stockings, put him in a vibrating machine, and shake him well.
Will that cure my headache, sir?
Your feet are bare. The vibrator will shake the ache out of your system and also that dialect, I hope. Now get to work, Forsythe.
Come, Mr. Piddley.
Look, one little aspirin.
Gad, if this only works. Diddley will forget about that confounded aspirin, and our slogan will be saved.
Mr. Allen.
Oh, yes, Miss Prendable. Have you looked through our inventories?
I looked through everything. There's no such thing.
No such thing as aspirin.
Here's our drug list.
Acids, adding machines, alarm clocks, angina pads, anchors, arch supporters.
See, there's no such thing as aspirin.
No such thing. That's good enough for me. Now, if I can only convince Piddley. Ah, here he comes with Forsythe. What news, Forsythe?
Mr. Piddley has had his vibrator treatment, sir. I put it in high.
He seems to be still shaking.
I shook the daylights out of him, sir.
Good. How do you feel, Mr. Piddley?
Hey, who am I?
Gad, he doesn't know who he is.
I must have shaken his brain all up, sir.
Hey, where am I?
He doesn't know where he is.
Hey, who are you two guys?
Quick, Forsythe, hand him his shoes and stockings. Put his hat back on.
You mean, sir?
He doesn't know who he is, where he is, or what he wanted.
The aspirin,
sir. Shh, don't mention that word, Forsythe. We'll get Piddley out on the street. He won't even know he was ever in here.
And our slogan...
You name it, we've got it. We'll be saved.
Eureka, sir.
Take his other arm, Forsythe.
Yes, sir.
Now come, Piddley.
Hey, where am I going? Who am I?
Your name is Piddley, and you're
Piddley.
Going bye-bye. That's a good boy.
Yeah, I'm a good boy.
You're all set, Mr. Piddley.
Yeah.
You've got your shoes and stockings.
Yeah, yeah.
Your hat.
Yeah.
Your swagger stick.
Yeah.
Good. You've got everything.
All but one thing.
What?
I want an aspirin.
And here is Jimmy Wallington, M.D., Master of Duds.
Fire chiefs and the men who drive fire engines, ambulances, and patrol cars always turn thumbs down on poor performance. That's why duds just never stand a chance in that company. And that goes for gasoline duds, too, those sluggish, slow-action elements that are a drag on your engine. They're not wanted, and they're not present in Texaco Fire Chief, the gasoline designed for fire engines and other emergency duty vehicles. Yes, the duds are out. That explains those speedy fire chief starts, the lively pickup and power in the pinches. When you fill up at the fire chief pump, you're getting only the elements that are rich in driving energy, the powerful ones that work to give you mileage, save money. So next time, try a Texaco dealer and Fire Chief, the emergency duty gasoline. It's all action, not a dud in a tank full.
Well, thank you, Jimmy, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us tonight. Next week, Mr. Thomas Dewey will be here to have a word with you. Mr. Thomas Dewey, next Wednesday night. This is Fred Allen saying goodnight for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast and inviting you to drive in anytime. Remember, you're welcome.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.